Welcome to episode 344 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
This is one in our continuing series on robotics and automation in space and space travel. If you'd like to hear the other episodes, you can find them by visiting thelabwithbrad.com.
Whoosh.
We are back in space. Whoosh. Yes. Whoosh. We're visiting comets.
Yes,
they this have. Time. I've seen one. Once on my birthday.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh. Was it Halley's?
No. That showed up in 1986, and I don't think that was on my birthday.
Yeah. Just because it was in our lifetime, I was asking.
No, we were at that weird little restaurant that's sort of medievalish.
Oh.
In the middle of nowhere, Camlin.
Camlin, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And there Duval. Happened to be a lunar eclipse, so mm-hmm. the moon is red. And ooh. Mars was really bright that night, so there was an extra red dot.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this comet that I've forgotten the name of, and it was not red.
quite the astronomical freaking phenomenon yes. in the collection.
They really yes. like to deliver this place does.
We called in a comet.
Extra mile we do for our guests.
Mars wasn't invited, but, you know.
I suppose it wouldn't surprise you to discover that there's tapestries and carvings and so forth of comets since as far back as we have tapestries and carvings and so forth.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That would make sense. You know, old ancient folk looking up at the sky going,
oh, look, there is one.
What is that thing? Yeah.
Well, it is not a portent of doom, not even for a king.
Oh, mm-hmm.
That was a popular theory.
Mm-hmm.
Thought perhaps it was a deliverance of judgment unto the earthly powers from the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
Neener, neener. You know, various godlike attributes given to these fuzzy things in the sky. Aristotle comes along.
Okay.
Sometime in the 300 BCs.
Mm-hmm.
And says it's part of the atmosphere.
Oh.
But it's kind of hard to say that because his view of the universe was so funky.
Yeah.
Like the Earth is at the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And then all things were separated into the terrestrial and the celestial.
And
he was convinced that comets are terrestrial phenomenon.
Yeah.
Like unto clouds and thunderstorms and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
They're not.
No.
Which, you know, it didn't. Some of his contemporaries are like, hey, I've noticed, airy, that these things don't blow away when the wind is up. So
right.
There's that.
There's a flaw in your plan. That's a bid for the how wrong can you be top 10 list.
India, according to Wikipedia anyway, I didn't have time to double check this, but apparently by the 6th century BCE, their astronomers had decided that they're probably celestial bodies, they probably go around the sun, and they probably show up periodically.
Oh, go India.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done, guys. 1687.
Uh-huh.
Newton's doing his Principia Mathematica,
uh-huh.
where, amongst other things, he explained how the force of gravity can cause things to float in the sky at the same time as make them fall down.
Okay.
With orbital dynamics and whatnot.
Heck yeah.
He used comets as an example
okay.
of what kind of orbits can happen.
Mm-hmm.
In 1705, along comes Edmund Halley.
Okay.
And he starts applying Newton's math to various sightings, various records they have of various comets that have come barreling through the area over the last umpteen centuries.
Yeah, yeah.
And he noticed one of them seemed to be coming back.
Hey.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
So he successfully predicted its return 1758 or 1759 abouts, he
okay.
said. And
okay.
it came back. And then they named it after him.
Yes.
Halley's Comet.
All right.
So then that we've talked about what they aren't. We did talk about what they are on Monday. Should we start with my sponsors?
Yes.
Okay, the childproof break.
Maybe not.
You know, it was bound to happen sooner or later. I said I'm so smooth so often.
Right?
Sooner or later, I had to mess up. Okay, the childproof playground.
Okay.
Genetically modified baby bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And water-resistant soap.
Okay, there was a theme. Where'd the soap come from?
Genetically modified
baby bottle. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So either that's a baby bottle that's genetically modified.
Right.
Or a bottle for babies who have been.
Yes. That's genetic. The one I'm leaning towards. It's funnier to me.
I like the ambiguity. It would have been funnier if I pulled it off. Yeah. Anyway, comets.
Comets.
We are talking about comets.
We're still in space.
Yes, yes. We got a. There's a few bits and bobs left over.
Good old Bob. I always did like him.
That's a comet name.
There's got to be.
There's thousands of them that we know of. I think 3,000 or 4,000 that we know of.
Holy crap.
You think I would have written that down?
They probably all have that those interesting names like 4562 or...
Oh, yeah, the catalog numbers? Yeah. Well, I don't even get what that is. Mm. But I can tell you about the biggest one.
Okay.
Bernardinelli Bernstein.
I got to guess who discovered it.
Yeah, that's exactly who it is. Mm. I like it because it's BB, also my initials. They figured out the size by, like, doing this weird computer Hubble picture. Okay, Hubble took pictures.
Okay.
Step one. Right. And then they tried to computer-wise remove the dust cloud.
Interesting.
Right, and then they estimated the size based on its brightness, which is kind of funny because comets aren't actually bright.
Right, right.
Before they start making a coma and tail. Their albedo is very low. Mm-hmm. They're darker than asphalt.
Really?
Asphalt is actually usually about twice as shiny as your average comet. Huh. So what's happened is like everything that was shiny tended to be the ices, and they've been cooked off, leaving behind everything that was not shiny.
Makes sense. Okay.
A lot of organic stuff, almost tar-like substance, they think. They have discovered a lot of organic compounds, including amino acids and sugars and so forth.
Ah.
In that stuff.
Yeah.
So this is like the chocolate outer coating. And then the inside is your snow coat.
Okay.
That's a comet. It's about 75 miles across the nucleus, which hit it with 75 miles. La-dee-da.
You don't want to see that one coming for us. So.
Well, true enough. That's 120 kilometers
okay.
for our European audience, or really anywhere in the world other than America.
I know, right?
It's far away, that one.
Okay.
It's what they call a long period comet.
Good, meaning
it has an orbit that takes more than 200 years.
Holy crap, okay.
Yeah, short period comets are less than 200 years.
Short, okay.
Comparatively speaking, they estimate that this one probably has a 3 million year orbit.
Holy crap.
So there's that. Its closest approach should come in 2031.
Cool.
At which point it'll be still about 10 times, a little more than 10 times as far away from the sun as we are, hanging around about at the orbit of Saturn, distance-wise.
Crap. I wonder, we've seen some with naked eye-ness, and that's always a treat.
Yeah, probably not that one.
Yeah.
Even though it's already active.
Really?
Yeah. A comet is basically an asteroid that has stuff that will melt.
Good description.
Or, you know, a mix of ice and rock and so forth. Mm-hmm. And the ice tends to be stuff that turns into gas, takes a lot of dust with it, and forms a non-gravitationally bound cloud of dust and gas around the nucleus, they call it.
Cool.
So we're talking about the size of the nuclei of comets, and they're not very big. I mean, the next runner-up is Hale-Bopp.
Oh, hey.
And that was only 60 kilometers across.
Oh, is that
about half of BB here.
Mm-hmm.
Halley's Comet is only 7 kilometers across.
Wow.
4.35 miles or so.
We're just shrinking and
I know. Yeah. But when they make their little cloud around themselves, called the coma, it can get bigger than our moon.
Ooh.
Bigger than our planet.
Nice.
Bigger than Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then, bigger than the sun.
Holy crap. That's a lot of outgassing.
Yes, that's quite a bit of outgassing. Although, even the guys who get the biggest coma, once they pass Mars, it tends to shrink because then the solar wind gets stronger and starts pushing things back into a tail.
Ah.
The comet tail.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually usually two of them.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, because like the dust isn't affected as much by solar wind as the gas is.
Okay.
In fact, the gas usually gets ionized, and then there's all this electromagnetic shenanigans.
Shenanigans. You said something. Or you were going to say something else.
I was. But yeah, those are comets. So what happens to them over time? What is the fate of a comet?
They smash into a sun.
That is one thing that happens.
Collide with planets.
That is another thing that happens.
Run into asteroid belts.
That probably happens too. We've seen examples like the Shoemaker-Levy comet broke apart and hit Jupiter.
Oh, poor thing.
We just recently saw a comet that has its orbit entirely within the orbit of Mercury.
Oh.
Really close to the sun. It's no more. They watched it change color and then break apart. For a while there, they observed what they called a ghost tail. This used to be a comet.
That had to be fun to watch.
And occasionally, of course, they just run out of gas and end up looking like any other old asteroid.
Ah, boring.
Yes.
Yeah. They should take out a planet, dang it. Not ours.
No, not ours. What do you say?
I'm sorry. Where's some wood to knock on here?
All right, finally, we get to the fun stuff.
Okay.
We're going to take some little robotic spacecraft.
Okay.
And go visit comets.
Let's do that. All right.
In 1986, there's this, what would you call a bunch of satellites? A fleet. A swarm.
Oh, I like swarm. Yeah.
A flotilla of satellites. They all went to check out Halley's Comet in 1986.
Okay.
Because it was here. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to get funding for the famous one.
Yeah, yeah.
They did things like get nice pictures and flybys and mm-hmm, try to get mm-hmm. samples of the coma.
Okay.
They didn't bring anything back because. Five spacecraft made it. Two from the ESA, two from the Soviet Union. I think one was from Japan.
Okay.
I forget.
So where were we?
Our space shuttle had just exploded. It actually had a probe that was supposed to go hang out and look at Halley's Comet.
Okay,
yeah, on board when that happened.
That makes all sorts of sense.
It's hard to deploy something when your orbital vehicle explodes.
Yes, yes.
2001,
mm-hmm.
the Deep Space One probe.
Okay.
It was a test bed. It was testing out a whole bunch of new technologies,
mm-hmm.
and it had flown by an asteroid,
mm-hmm.
and a bunch of the new technologies didn't work. Well, they got everything back online just in time to do a nice little flyby of Comet Borelli.
Borelli. All right.
Or P-19 Borelli, if you want the whole glory of it.
I always got a number. Okay.
The last time it was at its closest approach to the sun, mm-hmm. by the way, Borelli,
okay.
was in Feb of 2022.
Okay.
I wonder if it's Comet Jude.
Oh, the one I saw. Yeah.
We don't know what it's called. Let's name it after Phil.
Well, that fits except for the whole winter and me camping.
Well, that was his closest approach to the sun. It doesn't mean it was best viewing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't actually, they keep talking about all these comets they're taking missions to, and no one tells me whether or not you can see any of these.
Right? It's out there somewhere.
Sure, with a telescope. Some cameras, you know.
That should be part of the naming convention.
Or not it's ever been actually seen naked eye.
Or at the very least, if it can be seen during its orbit, you know. Mm-hmm. Have a big letter in the front there. Be like, seeable. So S-19, seeable?
S-19.
You know, and the rest of the gobbledygook. Whatever the name of
them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're going to like this one. The Deep Impact Mission.
Ooh.
Guess what it did?
It crashed into a comet.
Yes. How'd you know?
That's what we do. Was it a Russian mission?
No, this was ours.
Really?
Bumped into Temple 1.
Okay.
Was the comet and released an impactor and then took photographs of the impact. There's a big debate about how much ice versus other stuff is in comets.
Oh, I see.
And these missions are coming back with much more dust and dirt and rock mm-hmm. than we'd originally thought.
Okay.
So that's exciting. Not what we thought. That's never happened before. That hit its target in 2005.
Okay.
That same comet gets visited in 2011 by a mission called Stardust.
Okay.
This was part of its extended mission. It had launched in 1999, and it was collecting dust from various things, including Comet Wild 2.
Wild. Like wildlife. Wild.
81P Wild. WILD. That's what it says.
That's the party comet.
It's
that's
named after a guy, right?
Okay.
And he's French. So who knows how they say it?
Wild.
That thing actually brought samples back.
Oh.
By 2006, which I don't get how it brings the samples back. There must be some sort of Earth lander.
Yeah.
With parachutes and whatnot. Because the rest of the spacecraft went on to visit this other comet again later.
What is going... Okay, yeah, I don't get it either.
Then there's the Rosetta mission.
Oh.
With its landing lander.
Landing lander.
It's landing lander. I meant it. Philly, I think.
Oh, I like it.
D-H-I-L-A-E.
Philae?
I guess it's an obelisk that, along with the Rosetta Stone, was used to translate Egyptian back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd never heard of the obelisk. I'd heard of the Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, that one I know.
Anyway, it did land. The lander.
Okay.
The landing lander. In November of 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a heck of an accomplishment. I guess it bounced.
Everybody's on the home front going.
Well, first it hit the comet, and from the instruments, it didn't hit as hard as they expected.
Oh, okay.
Apparently not even as hard as they wanted. There was some little thruster that was supposed to fire to sort of snuggle it up against the side of the comet here.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was supposed to fire these harpoons.
Yeah, neat. Okay.
So the thruster didn't go off, and neither did the harpoons.
The thruster's like, did something just happen?
So after two or three bounces, it settles in. Hmm. And it's not in the place they planned, and it's not pointed in the right direction, which makes its antenna hard to get to, or its signal hard to get to.
Yeah, yeah.
And the solar collectors aren't lined up right, so its batteries died a few days later.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah, but we got pictures of the actual surface of this comet.
Cool. Heck yeah.
There's one more mission I want to mention.
Okay.
This one isn't even happening yet, not till 2028.
Oh.
The Comet Interceptor.
Comet. Okay. Okay.
Okay. All these comets we've seen have been cooked by the sun.
Yeah.
For thousands to millions of years.
Okay.
Maybe billions. We kind of want to know what a fresh one looks like.
Where do you find a fresh comet?
Well, okay. Well, there's a couple ways. Okay. You can either spend a whole lot of money and go way out there and find one that will one day be a comet.
Okay.
Or you can fly out to a nice stable place, one of the Lagrange points. Around Earth, L2, I think.
Okay.
That means things.
Yeah.
And wait for one.
Really?
Yeah, this is the only we're just going to hope one comes by mission I've ever heard of.
This is great. This reminds me of various predators, you know? It's ambush predators.
They do call it the Interceptor.
Yeah.
It's going to sit there for about 6 years, nominally. They figure they got about an 80% chance. And if nothing good comes by... There's a couple of targets they can choose to swing by. All right, this'll do.
Spend all this money anyways. This is cool.
So all this stuff they're finding out, the comets, by the way, they used to think asteroids are on the one hand and comets are on the other hand, and never the twain shall meet.
Right, yeah.
But it's turning out that the line is kind of fuzzy.
Of course it is.
Which begs the question.
Yes.
What's an asteroid?
Oh, okay.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Next time.
It's not coming.
See you then.
Bye.